keep your hand on your gun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Second hour is on. I have a lot of videos still to get to. I'm trying to get to as many as I can this hour and open up the phone lines in the last hour, both for your comments about what's going on worldwide, but also because I have a question for you here, as Sam puts it, here at the end of all things, here as we sit on the side of Mount Doom, as the world crumbles around us, and the end of InfoWars is there on the horizon. I have a question for our audience, and I'll take your calls and tell you the question in the third hour. I want to go to a video now of Daniel McAdams, co-host of Ron Paul's, from Ron Paul's channel. Of course, the story we were just covering in the story at Zero Hedge. Trump cabinet members buying at nuclear bunkers. Are you prepared? Apparently, rumor is that Pam Bondi and others have now moved to military sites away from their civilian homes, which has been something a lot of the Trump administration has been doing. And this may be because there is no off-ramp to Iran outside of nuclear exchange. Now, I don't think that's an accident, but here's Daniel McAdams and Ron Paul breaking down the possible off-ramps that Trump may have and why he may be looking for one. Let's watch.
This is a picture of Tel Aviv, and I think this is the real reason why they are desperate to get out of this war. You're not seeing these photos even through excessive, extreme censorship. Tel Aviv right now is being absolutely flattened. Now, the propaganda from the Trump administration is that we've taken out their Navy, we've taken out their missile launchers, we've taken out their missiles, they don't have an Air Force. Okay, but if that is true, then how is Tel Aviv being flattened? They're not doing it themselves. So there is a desperation sinking in. The Israelis have fired all of their interceptor missiles. They can't stop these missiles coming in right now, and it's getting into the dangerous phase. I had two videos, though, I wanted to play because, I mean, we could probably spend this whole show doing videos of Trump, but he said a couple of things yesterday that led me to believe that he's panicking, too, because to me it looks like he's trying to shift blame for starting this war onto his own son-in-law and Steve Witkoff.
A while ago, they told Mr. Witkoff, who is standing right over here, they said, they actually said, we want to keep building, essentially, in a real nutshell, we want to continue to build nuclear weapons. If we didn't knock out Midnight Hammer, if we didn't knock out their Iranian potential, if we didn't do that with Midnight Hammer, they would have had a nuclear weapon. They would have used it long before now.
Can we cut it now? The essence of what he says is that Steve Witkoff told him that the Iranians told Steve Witkoff that we want to keep building nuclear weapons. There's no evidence for that. The interlocutors say this did not happen. It's a flat-out lie. So either Witkoff was lying when he told the president that, or the president is lying right now when he said that. But now that the other one is probably even worse, because he admitted that he started this war on the advice of two real estate developers and a Fox News personality. Go on to this next one, because this is not how you start wars.
Return, and the United States found it intolerable, in my opinion, based on what Steve and Jared and Pete and others were telling me, Marco, so involved, that
so
I thought that they were going to attack
Steve,
us.
Steve, Jared, and Pete, and Marco, to a degree, for telling him he had to go in now. This is why we have Congress. This is why we deliberate over wars. You don't send your real estate developer friends over to a place to do the negotiation, and they come home and say, wow, it's bad, and you go to war.
See, we know that we go to war at the will of the president. But he also assumes he can end it on his terms. But somebody gave him some advice I thought was pretty good advice. Guess what, Mr. President? You might think you have the authority, but you don't have the clout, and you don't have the ability that the Iranians have, and they predicted Iran will decide when the war is over.
Yeah, and again, I think they're exactly right. And again, as frustrated as I am about the absurdity of yet another Middle East war, I can only imagine Ron Paul, who had, 20 years of experience in this before I was even born. Got to be frustrating. It's time we break this cycle. It's time we get out of this ridiculous quagmire.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. Second hour of the War Room is on. God, we have so much to cover. This is just crazy. So apparently, the latest from Bill Malugin is that the person who drove a vehicle into the Michigan synagogue today, the vehicle is registered to a naturalized U.S. citizen from Lebanon who lives in Dearborn, Michigan. So, there's that. That's the latest from there. We also have Mamdani doing a Muslim ceremony of some sort in New York City Hall. Absolutely infuriating. Just, again, it's just like, it's like we're not supposed to notice. It's like we're supposed to think this is fine. It's ridiculous. I got so much to get to. So we'll finish off with Iran here. We get to Lebanon, what's happening there. I really want to show you what the latest interview with Larry Fink that is kind of hilarious because he gets pressed on the woke crap he pushed. And I got to talk about the UK because of what is going on there. Oh, my God. There's just too much. All right. So fresh U.S. intel assessment after Iran says Iran regime not even close to collapse after 2 weeks of war. Okay, so it's supposed to last 48 hours. This is the Gilligan's Island trip of wars, right? So it's be a three-hour tour. We'll be here several years from now. Iran's new leader vows to keep Hormuz shut in his defiant first remarks, saying Iran will fight on and keep the Strait of Hormuz shut as leverage against the United States. He says that the popular demand in Iran is to continue our effective defense and make the enemy regret it. The lever of blocking the Strait of Hormuz must continue to be used, Khamenei added, referring to the shipping route through which one-fifth of all global oil normally passes along Iran's coast. Again, he is saying that he's not only doing this out of strategic necessity, but because his people demand it. Because once again, if our plan the whole time was to, you know, make the ruling regime of Iran untenable, we have done exactly the opposite of that, I think deliberately. Trump will release 172 million barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Tapping the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the U.S. will release 172 million barrels to help lower prices amid the Iran war. Amid the Iran war, gasoline prices rose to about $3.58 per gallon, 22% higher than last month when gas averaged around $2.94. The SPR currently holds 415 million barrels, about 58% of the 714 barrels authorized, and the IEA agreed to release 400 million barrels, the largest in history, with U.S. participation up to President Trump, Burgum said. This, of course, is a temporary fix, can't last forever, and is just delaying the inevitable crash. Trump administration estimates the Iran war cost a little over $11 billion in just 6 days. So it's been 12 now. I wonder if we could double that. Wonder if it's cost us $22 billion or if those first couple of days were particularly pricey for us. Officials from Trump's administration estimated during a congressional briefing this week that the first 6 days of the war in Iran had cost at least $11.3 billion. A source familiar with the matter said on Wednesday. Administration officials have also told lawmakers that $5.6 billion of munitions were used during those first 2 days of strikes. So there you go. This is the deal we're making. $5.2 billion of admissions, several American lives. In exchange, we get endless war forever without a purpose. Great deal, Trump the deal maker. Trump said he has been briefed on Iranian sleeper cells. quote, "We know where most are. They came in under Sleepy Joe." Tell you what, that's a problem, Trump. You're not supposed to know where the sleeper cells are. If you know where they are, why haven't you rounded them up yet? Would be my question. Let's go to clip 21. This is Trump's comment.
Friday hit us back. Have you been briefed about how many Iran sleeper cells there could be inside the U.S. right now?
I have been, and a lot of people came in through Biden with this stupid open border. But we know where most of them are. We've got our eye on all of them, I think.
Is it dozens?
They came in through the open border policies of Sleepy Joe Biden, one of the worst president in the history of our country. And we've got our eyes on all of them. But the war itself is being prosecuted at a level that nobody's seen before. It's pretty amazing to watch.
You know where the sleeper cells are? Like, that doesn't make any sense, Trump. He's like, we've got our eye on him. There's one that's about to attack a synagogue in Michigan. It's a false flag by Mossad. But we know where they are. We know exactly where the Mossad, I mean Iranian sleeper cells are. We got our eye on him. Don't worry. No, I'm worried. No, it's, again, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, it's like either there are sleeper cells and we should probably arrest them, and we're not arresting them probably because we want them to do something to get us more into the war in Iran, or there's false flag sleeper cells, or they don't know where the sleeper cells are and therefore aren't arresting them. It's not true. I'm not sure what the truth is. What he said, I hope, isn't true. I hope there are not Iranian sleeper cells in America waiting to be activated, being watched by the FBI, being observed in this by the CIA. That's the wrong way to deal with this. But okay, great. Very reassuring. Of course, it was Sleepy Joe to, you know, let these people across the border. I guess that would be one of the many reasons why everybody in his administration should have, at this point in Trump's administration, been charged with treason and convicted for crimes that they committed. Only one of which, and perhaps a minor one in the great scheme of things, being the proliferation of sleeper cells from any number of countries or enemies of us, China included, but Iran included as well. And I also just, I mean, for the record, if I was Iran, I wouldn't be doing sleeper cells. I would know that Americans being attacked in their homeland would be the one thing that would guarantee that this war continue, that the Iranian leadership's best weapon at this point is the fact that this war is unpopular and can't be sustained politically for that much longer. So I don't know. I mean, I know our leadership is suicidal and, you know, willing to kill its own people and pursue just utterly nonsensical foreign aid or foreign activity. But I don't get that from Iran. I don't get that sentiment from Iran. Seems smart to me. They seem like the things they do have a purpose and a reason, and it's strategic and it's all a part of like a wider plan. I just genuinely do not believe that Iran would be that stupid. Okay, maybe I'm wrong, but seriously. And usually these types of, like, you know, hunches are correct. We had the exact same hunch, if you want to call it that, when Barack Obama said, if Bashar al-Assad uses chemical weapons against his own people, America will get involved in the Syrian civil war. And then, like, the next week, it was reports of, oh, Assad has used a chemical weapon against his own people. Like, wait, he was winning the war. He was handling the civil war. He didn't need to use chemical weapons by any means. But you're saying that he just did against this random village just so he could cross Obama's red line. Not because it was useful to him, not because it was a act of necessity, but seemingly only to cross that red line and fulfill the demand that America get into the war. And no. Bashar al-Assad is not an idiot. He's not suicidal. And he didn't just deliberately do the one thing that would get America into the war. I have the same idea about Iran. Okay. And of course, we were right about Bashar al-Assad. The like official UN weapons inspectors confirmed that there was never a weapons attack, even though it was a chemical weapon attack, even though to this day, they still say that there was. There wasn't. So again, my thing is, like, I don't, For one thing, I wouldn't be surprised if they're Iranian. Like, if I was Iran, A, absolutely I would be sending people into America. And this is the thing. It's not like this is contradictory. It's not like I'm saying there are sleeper cells, there aren't sleeper cells. I'm saying if I was Iran, I would absolutely have put sleeper cells into America. Why wouldn't you? Right? If I was China, why wouldn't you? Your enemy is America and they have an open border policy. They don't even check your ID. Hell yeah. How many people can we spare? Send 10,000, 100,000 people. Get them all in there. Of course you would do that. Why? Again, why wouldn't you? So if there are Iranian sleeper cells, I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest. It would be irresponsible of them not to, with an open border under Joe Biden. That being said, for them to activate sleeper cells now would be suicidal and completely counterproductive to all of their stated and very sensical war aims compared to ours. From Keith Woods, Trump's war on Iran is causing Gulf states to reassess their relationship with the U.S. and look to diversify their foreign partnerships. Quote, many believed he dragged the Gulf into a war shaped heavily by Israel without sharing a plan and acting hastily and without fully weighing the political and economic fallout for allies. The U.S. is simply torching its diplomatic leverage for Israeli interests. Same time, analysts say the war has left the Gulf states reassessing both their security dependence on Washington and the prospect of eventually engaging Tehran on new regional security arrangements, even as trust in Iran has collapsed. For decades, relations between Washington and the Gulf states rested on an implicit trade-off. Gulf energy and capital, including hundreds of billions of dollars spent on U.S. arms, advanced technology and goods and services in return for U.S. protection, said Fawaz Gurjiz of the London School of Economics. He says the war has shaken those assumptions. Now, he says, Gulf states would accelerate their efforts to diversify their foreign and security partnerships, realizing, quote, they cannot rely on the United States to protect their energy, oil, gas, their people, and their sovereignty. And Iran knows they can't trust us in negotiations. And I mean, it's just like, yeah, we're burning our diplomatic ties. We're burning our foothold in the region. We're burning our ability to actually come to agreements with other countries or negotiate an end to this war. We have sacrificed it all on the altar of Israel. It is all for the sake of Israel and not for their existence. Remember, I don't know how many times I've said this in the last 3 years. It's all about Israel's total freedom of action to kill anybody they want. That's what we're fighting for. It's not for Israel's survival. There could have been a settlement agreement. There have been ceasefires that Israel hasn't upheld. The options were either Israel can chill out a little bit and just stop murdering everybody and just calm down and give rights to the people that are living as slaves right now and give representation to the people. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to treat their neighbors like humans. So they'd rather get America into a catastrophic and self-defeating war against Iran. I've got a couple videos to go to about that. First, let's go to clip 25 here. This is a reporter from NBC asking a top Netanyahu advisor about why America had to go to war with Iran and what the big threat was. You think they have a good answer? No, they're lying. The real answer is because they want the Greater Israel Project and they want to no longer be reliant on America while simultaneously destroying America and building up their own base in the Middle East to be a hegemonic power in that area, like we've been telling you since 2024. Let's watch clip 25 here.
What information did you have that Iran was about to carry out an imminent attack?
One good indication was that for 47 years they've been saying death to America, death to Israel. Believe it.
Yeah, but that's 47 guys, years, but why when, that
and,
day?
And they were ramping up their capabilities with the ballistic missiles. They're stringing along the negotiations. They always lie. Listen to your negotiators. They'll tell you the truth. They're stringing them along. They always lie, and it was an imminent threat. And we removed that imminent threat.
I still don't understand what the imminent threat was, that they were going to attack Israel, attack American bases, attack the U.S. An imminent threat of what?
All of the above. They were threatening their neighbors. Look at what they're doing now. they're shooting at all their immediate neighbors. All the, you know, the mask is revealed. These guys, it's a death cult that not only called and killed Americans for 47 years and Israelis for 47 years, now they're killing their neighbors.
Of course they're attacking, they're firing now because they're under attack. There's a hot war going on. I'm trying to understand what started this war.
They slaughtered thousands, tens of thousands of Iranians. They slaughtered them on the streets. 30,000 innocent people were slaughtered on the streets. in a matter of days. It's a death cult. It's a death cult, and we're removing that threat.
President Trump said that Iran was weeks away from developing a nuclear weapon and potentially using one. Is that Prime Minister Netanyahu's assessment as well?
Well, we know that they wanted it. We know that they were planning it. We know that was the imminent threat. You see today what they're doing with the oil. They're blackmailing the world with the oil. They would blackmail the world with the nukes. President Trump is saving the free world right now.
But were they just weeks away from having a nuclear weapon?
Well, that was their intention. I don't know if it was weeks or months or whatever it was, but it was an imminent threat. And certainly the ballistic missiles that they were trying to bury underground would have been immune. And then what? We'd leave this threat for our kids, for our grandkids. No, we got to do it now. The price of action is often high. The price of inaction is often much higher.
So you have nothing. So in other words, you have absolutely nothing. They just have to. How is that an imminent threat? Well, they've been saying death to America for 47 years. Okay, what is the imminent threat? I mean, pathetic, just utterly and absolutely pathetic. And like every excuse they have, it A, doesn't make any sense on the face of it, and B, they have no proof to make it anyway. He says they slaughtered tens of thousands of their own people. It's like, I would love to see just any evidence of that. They just keep saying it. I've never seen this backed up. I've never seen it reported officially. As far as I can tell, there was something like some sort of report that guessed there were 3,000 people killed, and then they said, but, you know, that's probably 10 times less than the real number. So let's go ahead and multiply that by 10. Now the official, you know, story that we're starting a war over is that 30,000 people died. You show me a single picture of a single person dying? Do you know how many 30,000 people is? And there was not a single image of any of it? There was never a report, never an account from a Iranian saying this. This is at least with the first Gulf War, you had the girl sit and give the testimony about the babies in incubators. They didn't even bother to do the testimony this time. They're just coming out and going, yeah, they killed babies in incubators. Don't ask questions. Stop questioning me. They killed babies, 10,000 babies in incubators. They killed them. You're saying we should let them live? And it's like, they are literally just making things up. It is completely insane. Again, we could go over and over on it, but the craziest part, obviously, is the fact that they're saying that Iran is at war with all of its neighbors. It's like, and I love the NBC guys, like, you mean right now during the hot war? I'm talking about what's leading up to the war. The guy, he knows what you're asking. He doesn't have an answer. But it's just particularly ironic because Israel has literally attacked 7 of its neighbors in the last year. And now they are slating all of Lebanon for total destruction. Total, abject, complete eradication of the Lebanese people. They have just expanded their exclusion zone where they're telling people to evacuate to another like 1.2 million people. And by the way, the people that did evacuate from the zones they were told to evacuate from pitched tents on the beach. And then they got bombed there. So again, it's crazy because like they come up with these excuses for what they did to Gaza. And the excuses aren't even valid. They're not even good, but they apply them to Gaza. And then they come up with all these other excuses for Iran. Again, totally made up, total baseless accusations, just ridiculous nonsense. But at least they make them. And then they just bomb the hell out of Lebanon and don't even bother to give you a reason or make an excuse. They don't even make the argument that like, well, they're Palestinians. Palestine never existed. Again, ridiculous when they claim this stuff, but at least it's a claim. With Lebanon, it's like, okay, Lebanon exists. The people have been there for 5,000 years. It was never, you know, a part of God's promised Israel, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're like, we're killing everybody in Lebanon. And if you think I'm exaggerating, I'm not. I actually translated this myself. This is retired Israeli General Uzi Dayan. He's on Israeli Channel 12. Asked about what Israel's next step in Lebanon is. Again, you're not going to find this translation anywhere. I did it myself using AI. So it's the same voice. First, you'll hear the voice ask the question. That's the reporter asking. And then the same voice answers the question. It's kind of confusing, but it's because I did it through AI. This is the only place you will get this. It's clip 33. Here's retired Israeli General Uzi Dayan about what is planned for innocent neighbor of Israel, Lebanon. Let's watch.
So after a night of incessant firing towards the north and Hezbollah's announcement of a military operation, what should be the next step for Israel in Lebanon? Lebanon needs to act immediately, quickly, with all its might. This is a real failure. What is happening there? What is acting quickly and strongly? A. To occupy territory, expel everyone who is there. Destroy everything there and declare it a death zone, meaning that no one walks there, neither Cypriots nor anyone who sees it. Nor UNIFIL nor IDF soldiers, and make it a death zone. While continuing to bomb Hezbollah wherever possible, everywhere in Lebanon. And issue an ultimatum to the Lebanese government. Or you outlaw them. Act accordingly. In short, you are thwarting the rapid growth. If not, we will destroy all the infrastructure in Lebanon. This is something we are going to do, and I am talking about electricity, water, transportation. This is what needs to be done and time allocated for it in days. And do it, otherwise we lose the north.
All right, so there you go. Again, hard to find this stuff in English. It's all in Hebrew. But that was the Israeli general being asked about what would be done to Lebanon. He says we need to act immediately and quickly with all our might. What's happening there is truly a failure. He says we need to strongly occupy an area, expel everyone who's there, destroy everything there, and declare it a death zone. That is to say, no one's walking around there, not villages, not shepherds, not UNIFIL, not IDF soldiers. Make it a death zone. At the same time, continue to bomb Hezbollah everywhere possible, everywhere in Lebanon, and issue an ultimatum to the Lebanese government, or you outlaw them. Act accordingly. In short, you eliminate the malignant growth. Lebanon, the country of Lebanon. If not, we will destroy all the infrastructure in Lebanon. This is something we can do. I'm talking about electricity, water, transportation. Okay, so Israel is just a terrorist nation of psychotic arsonists. And they did it to Gaza. They'll do it to Iran. They're doing it to Lebanon. Again, Lebanon did not bother them. Lebanon is a multi-faith republic. A third of the Lebanese population is Christian, and the Christian communities are the ones being bombed, including the murder of a Catholic priest a few days ago. The people that are being told to evacuate are evacuating, and then Israel is bombing them on the beach and are killing hundreds and hundreds of people on a daily basis. All of this because Lebanon won't willingly give up their land to Israel. All Lebanon wants is to be left alone. All Lebanon has ever done is to defend itself from Israeli incursion and invasion. And Israel's there on TV. Their official policy, Lebanon has to fully and completely submit itself willingly to eradication, or they'll be eradicated anyway. And they'll turn all of Lebanon into Gaza by cutting off their electricity, destroying their transportation, destroying their water, and I guess letting them all starve to death. Here's an idea. What if America, the great Christian nation, come in and defend Lebanon from the psychotic and aggressive activity of these mentally ill weirdos who think that they own everything they put their eyes on? What about that?
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites
use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. How sort of put it in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004, but I got blown up in Iraq. I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallshowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theallshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Gentlemen, this is the War Room. I want to remind you that as InfoWars, as an entity, comes to a early demise, not having anything to do with our own actions. You know, that's one of the things that is good about InfoWars having survived this long, because people will just assume, or they'll spread the story, that InfoWars failed, that we like closed down because nobody was watching us or whatever. And it's like, if we get shut down, when we get shut down, which is happening, you know, in about a month, we'll have absolutely nothing to do with our popularity. Our popularity is higher than it ever was. Other places have come and gone. Other institutions, other news outlets, maybe they make a big splash, and then they sort of degrade, and then nobody's watching them, and then people move on, and they just sort of shudder eventually, and nobody cares. We have only ever been on an upward trajectory in terms of popularity and support. And of course, there's been a little ups and downs, but overall, the trajectory has been positive, because more and more people on a daily basis are realizing that we were right the entire time, and that we've you know, had our eye on the ball the whole time. And so no matter what, obviously, the mission continues. We will still be here. We will still be, you know, operating together as a unit. And I really can't express how valuable this is. Like, would InfoWars be even, you know, a fraction as powerful as we are if we had all the same people in their same numbers with their same talents, but everybody was just on their own? Everybody was just working for themselves, trying to get their own thing going. Like, I always picture InfoWars as the battleship as opposed to a bunch of little rowboats, right? A bunch of little rowboats could be effective too, and we need rowboats out there. We need our little clipper ships, you know, flanking us. But at the end of the day, when you can have sailors in their position doing their role together, all unified towards the same directive, and you can move this giant ship that is a, you know, war-fighting platform, that's what InfoWars is. It's all these talented people, all the incredible crew, dedicated, tuned in, awake to what's going on, passionate about our mission to save the world. Instead of just being on our own, sort of going in our own direction, maybe vaguely trying to travel in the same direction, no, we're all on the same ship. Captain Alex Jones, we're all filling our roles, and together we're moving forward the USS Liberty, but that might not be the best label, huh? Although, kind of appropriate, actually. Actually, now that I think about it, maybe we are the USS Liberty. Maybe we will be taken down by friendly fire and a false flag attack. Yes, the ship continues to steam ahead as long as we've got coal in the furnace, and you put it there by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Get the T3, the new iodine tincture. You're not going to regret it. If you've ever tried iodine, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you will, okay? It's amazing. It's incredible. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not making any medical claims, but I had a friend when I first started working here. He started taking X2, and he's like, dude, I sleep like an hour or two less a night. Again, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen for you. Don't come at me if you're like, I'm still sleeping 8 hours. You don't know is the point. You don't know what it's going to do for you. You don't know what you're missing out on. You don't know, you know, the effects of not having iodine. Once you start taking it, you'll realize, at least it's happened to me and it's happened to my friends, like, oh, I wasn't supposed to be tired all the time. I wasn't supposed to have to sleep more than everybody else. I was just short of iodine, or, oh, you know, whatever it is. You'll see. You'll feel the effects. You will notice the difference. The Trifecta Iodine Tincture. Get it now. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not making any medical claims. Just be absolutely clear. Since we're on the topic of being sued. But I don't need to make the claims. You hear the callers call in and make the claims. You hear the testimonies. Go read the reviews of iodine. It's the same stuff as X2, but just even better. Try iodine at thealexjonesstore.com. Go read the reviews. Go find out what it can do for you. Start taking it, and, you know, your life will change. You've heard from enough people calling in and saying exactly that. And I use it for everything, by the way. Again, I'm not a doctor, but it's just like everything, you know, skin, whatever, like bug bites. I put it on everything, and it works. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Now, let's see. We've got, all right, I want to go to a few more videos. I'm torn because I got to talk about the UK. I might save that for just the next hour, but I'm going to take your calls the next hour as well, because I got to talk about Lebanon. I have more to talk about when it comes to Israel, though not specifically the war alone. But since we're on the topic of Israel and the war in Iran, these videos just broke while we were live, both from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Let's go to this first clip of Netanyahu. He made a speech just a few minutes ago, and it's about the Iran war. And again, the one thing that throws me for a loop when it comes to the Iran war, it doesn't really, but like the Tel Aviv stock market keeps hitting record highs. And every time I see somebody like Netanyahu or one of the, like, you see the Trump officials, and like you can kind of tell they're putting a face on it, right? You can kind of tell they're going, we are doing great. We're amazing. We're destroying everything. We still have a lot of work to do, but like it's going awesome, and we are the strongest military in the world. It's like, eh, okay, maybe. But then you watch the Israelis, and they seem genuinely thrilled. They seem genuinely confident and happy of how everything is going. and the stock market is raising. And so I'm like, all right, what am I missing here? Because as far as I can tell, Israel's getting battered, getting hammered, and there's no sign of it slowing down. And there's sort of lost control of this whole operation. And even how America's getting hit is nothing compared to how, you know, Israeli resources in the area are getting hit. So maybe I'm missing something, but really, I just think they're thrilled that everything is going according to plan. Netanyahu threatens Iran new leader, says government collapse uncertain. Let's go to this video of Netanyahu earlier today, this first one, saying, I believe we all recognize. Let's watch.
We all recognize the fact that we will reach to the kingdom. We will make it to the return of the Messiah, but this will not happen next Thursday. The lives of nations is always precarious and surrounded with threats. Our survival, our endurance is a result of alliances that we forge for our existence to be stronger. No doubt we are moving from one battle to another, from the establishment and with this battle now, with this operation, Israel has become stronger than ever.
Israel has become stronger than ever. And he says, we'll make it to the kingdom and the coming of the Messiah. So just again, don't be confused by the fact that people like me are saying this is all in pursuit of some, you know, false prophecy, bringing forward the Antichrist. This is about rebuilding the temple. Like, this is the funny thing. I had somebody on X yesterday be like, why don't you go kvetch about the third temple more? And it's like, do you think I made up the third temple? You think I came up with this? You think this is something I'm like interested in? No, the people doing it are saying this is why they're doing it. The people waging the war are saying it's in order to rebuild the third temple, to rebuild the temple a third time, to usher in the Antichrist, to bring about the Messiah and, quote unquote, the kingdom. Now, the kingdom, according to them, is when the Moshiach comes, the Messiah comes, which their interpretation, false and retroactively, you know, disfigured the Torah to get there. But it's that, you know, they'll have a king that will basically rule over the world. And this is the crazy thing about like anti-Semitism, Israel, Judaism, whatever it is. It's like if you ask the average Jew, like, what does your religion believe? Like, if you ask the average Christian, what is the Christian worldview? What do you believe is happening? What do you think is going on? That's pretty obvious what we tell you, right? Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He came to earth. He was killed. He rose again. He died for our sins. And we're supposed to serve him. Like, it's pretty, you know, clear, cut and dry, right? You ask a Jewish person, and it's also pretty clear and cut and dry. It's just, if I say it, it's anti-Semitic. Right. And I've literally, my Jewish friend Jonathan, I asked him like probably 6 months ago, just like, so like, why would you just describe like what you do? And it's like, well, we believe that we're scattered and that, you know, one day God will return us all to Israel and then he'll give us the Messiah and he'll be the king and we'll basically like kind of like rule the world, you know, from then on out. And it's like that, unless I'm mistaken, I mean, unless I've seriously misread like the Jewish religion, like that is the religious belief, right? Am I wrong? That is what the point of the Messiah is. When he says the kingdom, he means that God will give you a king, like a physical, real, earthly king to rule over everybody. And this is where, and again, I don't know, there's different interpretations, exactly how many slaves you get or whatever, but like one of the common beliefs is that like, yeah, every Jewish person will have like 2,800 Gentile slaves. And anybody that doesn't want to go along with it will be killed. And I had a video earlier this week of somebody saying exactly this, a rabbi saying, oh, Tucker Carlson's worried about the third temple. Well, if you don't want to serve us after the third temple, it's fine because you'll be killed. You'll be swept away. You'll be done away with. So again, am I wrong? Like, is that not the belief? Like, you can quibble a little bit, but pretty sure in general, broad strokes, that's what it is, right? Jews are scattered. One day, God will return them. And there's like debate there. That's why you have some like religious Jewish sects, the Hasidics and others who say, you know, this is wrong. God is supposed to return us to Israel. It's supposed to be a miraculous thing. It's not supposed to be a human-led endeavor, which is why they don't like the current state of Israel. They think it's like a shortcut. They're trying to trick God when really supposed to be God summoning them back, not Theodore Herzl. But they still believe that God is one day going to bring them all back to Israel, and then from Israel, they're going to rule with a God, King, Messiah over the rest of the world. Like, that is Judaism, right? Am I wrong? I'm just saying. Benjamin Netanyahu literally is giving official speeches where he's saying he's ushering in the Antichrist. That in the pursuit of war with Iran, they are bringing about the Messiah. He just said it, and that the kingdom will be realized. It's like, it won't happen next Thursday, but maybe 5 years from now, something like that. So again, you don't come at me about the religious retardation that's driving this war. Swear to God, I can't remember his name. Whatever, he's like a popular MAGA guy, but he's like trying to mock me about the Third Temple and the red heifers. And it's like, if you think the red heifers in the temple is stupid, go tell the people doing it. Go tell the people who are like starting wars over it. Go tell the prime minister of Israel who's giving a speech where he says that's what's directing him. Like, what are you talking? Why? It's crazy. It's just one of these things where it's like you say reality and people think you're the crazy one. No, this is certainly crazy. It ain't me. That's just the beginning. You can be mad at me for telling you this stuff, but I'm just passing it along. These people say it. I actually listen to them and think about it for a little bit and realize that what they're saying isn't just hot air. It follows along with the actual actions they're taking around the world. And then I tell you what is happening. Like, it's, I'm not coming up with any of this stuff. I'm just observing. So here's Benjamin Netanyahu telling you literally what I've been telling you since 2024, what I made the Eighth Front War video about. Israel intends to become a superpower by using America to destroy Iran. In doing so, they plan on America being massively hampered and harmed and hurt and injured and cause chaos, probably a civil war here, get the Democrats back in power here by doing this all on the back of the Republicans, destroying the ability of Republicans to get elected in America. America goes over to the Democrats. By that point, sure, they might move away from Israel, but that's inevitable now or a decade from now. It's happening. So fine. The left takes over America. They flood it with foreigners. They basically institute every anti-white agenda they could possibly do. And that destroys the, you know, European diaspora. At the same time, Europe has been flooded with Muslims. I'm sure they'll get tens of millions more from the wars that we're starting here, or like right now, overseas in the Middle East. And then once, you know, Europe completely falls to the Muslims, which they are, and I'll explain that to you in the next hour, then Turkey and then Europe will be next on the chopping block. Gaza, Lebanon, Iran, Turkey, Germany, France. I mean, it's just, why not, right? Why not? Let's go to Netanyahu, confirming what I've been telling you for the last 2 years.
Citizens of Israel, my brothers and sisters, we are in historic days, days that will be written in the annals of Israel. In Operation Roaring Lion, our war is going and intensifying. We are pummeling the Islamic regime in Tehran. We are pummeling its emissaries, Hezbollah in Lebanon. This unprecedented coordination between Israel and the U.S. and achieved substantial achievements that are changing the reality in the West Bank, in the Middle East and beyond. These achievements are increasing the status of Israel as a superpower more than ever. Through our power in opposition to the power of our enemies, this is what is ensuring our survival. Our threats come and go, but when we become a regional superpower, and in many respects a global superpower, we have the power to push away threats and ensure our future.
So, I mean, that's just, again, it's just what, I mean, it's just what I've been saying for 2 years. They are trying to become a regional, dare I say, world superpower, and then we'll be able to handle our own threats. What does that mean? They won't have to rely on America anymore. What does that mean? They don't care about America anymore. If it doesn't serve them, why would they care? And again, watch the Eighth Front. You will actually hear people who are doing it telling you what they're doing. Not only does it begin with a similar speech of Netanyahu saying something similar. The very last clip, it's him saying basically exactly the same thing. We will achieve peace in the region, a.k.a. eradicate Iran. And once that happens, we will stand, you know, astride the world as a superpower along with you guys. But, like, everywhere else is being destroyed. And, of course, America is being destroyed, too. Again, this isn't a, you know, I don't fall for the false dichotomy. Like, let's go to clip 16 here. This is posted by End Wokeness. We can play this as B-roll. This is New York City Hall under Mamdani, because we're being hit with the pincer move here, because we are being invaded by third world foreigners, many of whom are Muslim, many of whom have no intention of actually becoming American in any meaningful way whatsoever. Here's a bunch of invading foreigners holding up the one finger. That's the ISIS sign, right? Praying and doing their acts of, you know, supremacy. And eating with their hands on the floor of the New York City Hall. It's just, like, so degrading. And it's like, also, I did an interview with Sneeko, and he just kept being like, I didn't realize that he was, like, a Muslim guy. I mean, I knew he was Muslim, but I didn't realize, like, that's what his thing was. He's, like, pushing that. And he's just, like, he keeps being like, oh, but we're, like, only 1%, though. Like, why do you worry about us? We're, like, only 1%. It's like, okay. But you're doing, like, acts of, you know, submission. You're like, showing off that you're taking over large chunks of the country. Like, we're not stupid. And we don't need to, like, be okay with it. And, like, the arrogance of even asking the question is so offensive to me. Can you imagine going to a Muslim country and going, well, what the heck? Why aren't you letting me make it more Christian? Why aren't you letting me change your culture? Do you hate me? And it's just like, because there's no reason why we should. It was like confusing. I was like really confused because I'm just like talking to the guy thinking that, you know, we're cool. I'm like, and he's just acting weird. And it wasn't until like afterwards, I was like, oh, he's like a subversive Muslim guy who just like is trying to make that argument constantly. And he just kept trying to be like, yeah, but the Jews, you know, but really the problem is the Jews, right? And I'm like, I guess, what? You didn't ask me about the Jews. You asked me about the Muslims. I told you my answer about the Muslims. It's weird, man. It's this weird dichotomy where the Muslims think that, like, you have to. And by the way, one thing he's like, well, you know, the Jews fear the Muslims the most. I mean, look at, you know, how they're attacking or whatever. And it's like, I don't think that's true at all, actually. I think it's, you know, clearly the other way around. I think there's a reason that there's been a deliberate and well-advertised policy of flooding Europe with Muslims to destroy it. I don't think it's because the Muslims are so scary and strong and capable, okay? Because they're easy to control. So anyway, it's not even about, it's just like, Why are we being torn apart in so many different directions? Why are we allowing ourselves to be invaded in one hand while we're invading another country for another country on the other? Why are we building up Israel to be a superpower to, you know, fight against us, I guess, but we're going to waste all of our money and all of our bases in the Middle East to achieve this? It's just such an obvious scam, and our politicians are just in on it, I guess. They're all just like Lindsey Grahams. It's ridiculous. And then, oh my God, there's just so much. I want to get into what's happening in Lebanon, but I really got to get into this latest story. Israel drops charges against soldiers in Palestine detainee abuse case. Israel has dropped all charges against five soldiers accused of sexually abusing a Palestinian detainee at a military detention facility, Israeli media outlets have reported. Closing a case, it became one of the most divisive in the country's recent history. Now, if you remember this, I mean, every step of this has been utterly insane and inhuman and disgusting, to be honest with you. What happened was a Palestinian prisoner, parental warning, by the way, you know, language advisory coming for you here. Sorry, we're talking about, you know, the normal function, the quotidian everyday activity of the Israeli army. So you are going to hear about some horrors. Horrible things, okay? So he's talking about the Associated Press has the headline. The Israeli military says it's dropping charges against five soldiers who were accused of sexually abusing a Palestinian detainee. Justin Bonomo, on X says that's insane framing. The man was anally gang raped. He was severely beaten and then anally gang raped on camera. Both a knife and a taser were reportedly used. There was a hole in his rectal wall he had to get surgery to fix. Because he was anally gang raped by the IDF on camera, he also had seven broken ribs and other injuries as well. After it happened, the Israelis staged multiple large protests in the streets, not because they believed the soldiers did anything wrong, but because they were infuriated that the soldiers were arrested for anally gang raping a Palestinian on camera. The protests were not just random people. They included multiple high-ranking Knesset members, their Congress, who defended the anal gang and the anal gang rapists. They didn't stop there. They went after the lawyer who leaked the video. She was publicly smeared and forced to resign and then was arrested. And now the anal gang rapists who were caught on camera have had their charges dropped. They didn't win in court. They weren't somehow exonerated. The charges were completely and indefensibly dropped. The Jerusalem Post reports that there was sufficient evidence to take this to trial. This is part of a larger pattern of torture and impunity. New York Times and many other major outlets have extensively detailed the abuses at the torture facility. New York Times reported that prisoners lose 30-plus pounds. A nurse was anally raped by a metal rod. Another man was raped by a dog. And another was anally raped by a fiery, burning rod until he died. Yes, the New York Times reported all of that. I'll share sources in the replies. Torture and sexual assault are commonplace at SDE Taman, or however you say this prison name, and many prisoners die in the process. The UN concluded that rape from IDF soldiers was so commonplace, it constitutes an official strategy of war. And of course, these monsters virtually never face jail time because Israelis, by and large, don't have any problem with any of this. It's just what their society does. They torture Palestinians. So this is the end result of this saga in which the soldiers were caught on camera doing this. Then you had members of the Knesset protesting and demanding their release because what they did was a holy and an allowed act because these people were accused terrorists after all. I mean, they'd never been given a trial, never been convicted. They weren't caught red-handed doing something, but they were Palestinians. So, you know, you might as well rape them to death and then get away with it. And then, by the way, they went on TV and were like celebrating. Like, this is one of the rapist guys right here. I don't know if we can go to my screen, or I just put the video in the folder. But yeah, they like celebrate these guys. Like, made them celebrities. The soldiers who raped the prisoners became celebrities and have now been exonerated thanks to the actions of the Israeli Knesset. So, greatest allies, right? Most moral army in the world, right? Israel, a bastion of Western values, or an insane colony of gang rapists and murderers.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, they put in the salt, IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification and the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexhillstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexhillstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theolicensstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.